Today's episode of Behind the Numbers is brought to you by Haefely Flanagan. Haefely Flanagan is a full-service accounting firm that's been serving our clients since 1967. We are not your typical accounting firm. Our services extend well beyond tax and audit to include valuation services, strategic and succession planning, leadership development, and more. When you work with Haefely Flanagan, we help you realize your long-term goals. Learn more at hfco.com or call 856-722-5300.
Hi everyone, welcome to Behind the Numbers. My name is Dave Bookbinder and welcome to the show where we dig deeper to understand what matters most in business. Today I'm pleased to welcome Mike Rosen, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Commercial Cleaning Corp. Mike, welcome to Behind the Numbers.
Thank you, Dave. It's truly a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here. So your firm was founded in 1988, is that right?
Well, actually, I took over in 1988.
Oh, you took over in 1988.
1927.
1927.
In Trenton. Actually, it was began in Trenton in 1927.
Tell us the story. Who are you and who is Commercial Cleaning Corp?
Well, Commercial Cleaning, as I said, was founded in 1927. Went from our industry is always started as an immigrant industry, and it went from father to son, and then from son to me. In terms of an acquisition, I bought the company in 1988, and I think that's where that date is coming from. At that time, I was looking for an opportunity, and I threw out what I would call just a flyer, so to speak, and it came to pass. I was looking for a company that I didn't have to put much money down, long-term payout, and there were no relatives involved in the current owner's family. And 2 weeks later, the opportunity came up in 1988, I bought the company.
And tell the audience a little bit about what you do and who you serve.
Well, we do a full variety of building maintenance, janitorial work, handyman work, window cleaning work, carpet work, everything that really goes on in the building. We'll even do shredding, anything that would maintain a building. And our primary focus at this time is the Northeast. So we're heavily involved from a day-to-day basis in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Maryland.
Thank you. And we're not here to do an infomercial. We're here to talk about the dynamics of a family-run business.
Okay.
And you've got an interesting story to share because you do have a next generation
Yes.
leader inside the organization.
Yes, I do. My son has been with us. He'd be great if he was here, because he always corrects me on the years. I forget, about 15 years or more. 16 years he's been working within the company as well.
And what's his role?
He is director, vice president of sales and marketing for the company.
Okay. And did he start his career inside your organization, Mike?
He actually did. He did. He went directly from school to the organization.
So he grew up and learned the business from you?
He grew up and learned it from me, and as a matter of fact, when I first started, the business was relatively small, very, very little personnel, very little employees, that I used to take my kids on the weekends to help me if I had to do anything, like any entrepreneur that begins. And so when he was a kid, he got the taste of what it was, and that's why he didn't want it at the beginning.
Okay, he didn't want it at the beginning.
No. And his sister didn't want it either at the beginning.
So how did you persuade him to join the business?
Well, it came to the point of black and white, and the black and white was, if you guys are not interested, I respect it, then I'm going to move ahead and sell it. I'm not going to keep on going. There comes a time. And my son says, no, I'm very interested, and he joined the company. And that's how he came by.
Yeah, I would say good for you, because it doesn't always end that way with business owners and next generation. A lot of times the next gen isn't necessarily interested in getting into the business and pursuing a legacy.
Yes. So,
I wanted to talk to you about the dynamic of having, you know, the next generation inside the business. I've interviewed and worked with so many entrepreneurs over the course of my career, and one of the big challenges I've heard them share with me is when another family member comes on, it can be disruptive to the culture, because when other employees look around and they see that person has the same last name as the CEO, they make certain assumptions about the qualifications of the individual. Can you speak to that? What's been the dynamic like for you, your son, and for the rest of the employees?
I think it's been good. When my son started, he started the way you say anyone would start. So he started cleaning. He was worked side by side with the cleaners and everything they did for many, many years. And he became an expert in a lot of the techniques and programs that we do. So as he learned the business, he began elevating into other jobs in the business. And I would say over the course of the 15 or so years, we actually did a turn almost in every department. So he had good feel. And he also had, again, the experience of knowing technically what we do, how we do it, and how efficiently it can be done.
Yeah, building that credibility is so important in terms of how they're perceived.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure not every decision came to an immediate agreement. How did you guys navigate conflict inside a family-run
business?
That's
a great, great question. At the beginning, it was like really a lot of, it was loud, argumentative. But after a while, we both got accustomed to each other's styles. It almost seemed like, I had been doing it for many years. He hasn't done it. He had his own opinions on how things should be done. As a younger person, looked at the world a little differently than I did, or do still, right? But we did come to consensus. At the beginning, it was a little tough. I will tell you that it was a little tough navigating the differences. But I think as time went on, that got all smoothed out. Not that we do share differences in many of the things we do, but we understand that it's still going toward the same goal. As long as we're on the same track, we're fine.
Yeah, as long as everybody's rowing in the same direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you mentioned there was a daughter who was not interested in the business?
Yes. At one point she was, but then she moved to Florida and virtually began her own career. She's a counselor, an actual psychological counselor dealing with people. She loves what she does, and she's going to continue to do that.
That's awesome. And that's another dynamic I want to explore with you as, you know, the owner of the business. You're fortunate that you've got the son who came into the business, but a lot of business owners have children that are not necessarily interested. What did it feel like? How did you react when daughter shared that she was not interested in being a part of the business?
I thought it would have been great if they both would have come into the business. I really, if that was from the father's perspective. And I think, going back to the other question you asked me, I think at the beginning, it's father-son, now it's, CEO, and not an employee, but someone working in the business with my son. And I think that caused some of it, too. The family stuff comes in. There's no question when you're dealing with family and they're in the business, the family stuff still always comes in. I would have loved her to join. I think she would have been a tremendous asset, but she's a great complement to what he can do. She's very structured, very organized, and she's what we'll call a typical integrator in our EOS type system, where she can manage people, manage process, manage procedures, and actually make and hold people accountable. She's very good at those things.
You need somebody to hold people accountable for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like for you to maybe share some of your advice and experience for other CEOs and entrepreneurs who are listening, because it sounds like you're doing it right, and I'm sure you've had some hiccups along the way. But for the folks who are watching and listening, what advice would you share with them on how to really make this next generation of family leaders a smooth transition?
I think if I had to do it again, and I mentioned this to my son, so what I'm open with you, I've been open with them. I think it would have been best if he had started elsewhere. He did variety of things, when he left school, but I think it would have best served him and best served us even if he stayed in our business, to be with another company, to see how other people do it. I think the biggest thing is getting that diverse opinion on how things actually work, because when you come into a company, you know how that one works. But the company next to you, although it looks like the same, internally it may be different. Their structure, the way they do things, could be better than what we do. And you bring that with you. And I think that would have been an advantage for anyone who has a child or a family member coming in to work elsewhere first to get a taste of what the business is like and maybe bring that with them and great new ideas to your company.
Yeah, I've heard from many entrepreneurs that that is a critical component, and I've met many who have insisted that their family members work somewhere else.
Yeah.
So when they come on, this isn't their first job inside the family-run business. So it sends a message to the employees that they're serious, this person has experience, and it just is more beneficial for the employee because they've actually brought some other skills with them.
Yes.
Mike, for folks who are watching and listening and want to learn more about you or how they can learn about Commercial Cleaning Corp., what's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, they can, we can even suggest them to give you my cell number. It's 609-847-1491. Be happy to talk to folks who are in the family business or not, but looking for maybe how my experience could be helpful to them. Be more than happy to do that.
Yeah, this is great experience. And we're getting close to a commercial break, but I do want to ask you, maybe from the lens of your son, who's inside the business, and he's not here, and I'm going to ask you to speak for him. Same question. If he were here, what would you say his biggest challenges or obstacles were in being fully integrated into the family business?
I think you had mentioned it. I think the biggest obstacle is when someone with the same last name comes into the business, and you have existing employees who you cherish and would work there for a while, look a little askew at that, saying, oh my goodness, this could be the new leader, and now I'm gonna have to be working for them. I don't know them. It's a family member. They're gonna be treated differently. They're separate. They may not be as accountable as everybody else. Things will pass. And I think that's how people initially react. And I think it's up to that person, which my son has, is work through that by working with other people in a complementary type of fashion, not as a boss-employee type fashion. But I think starting him and working in all of the departments just as a colleague, I think build trust within the company.
Yeah, well said. On that, we're going to take a quick break. Mike, sit tight. Folks at home watching and listening, don't go anywhere. We've got to pay a few bills, and we'll be right back on Behind the Numbers.
Today's episode of Behind the Numbers is brought to you by Haefely Flanagan. Haefely Flanagan is a full-service accounting firm that's been serving our clients since 1967. We are not your typical accounting firm. Our services extend well beyond tax and audit to include valuation services, strategic and succession planning, leadership development, and more. When you work with Haefely Flanagan, we help you realize your long-term goals. Learn more at hfco.com or call 856-722-5300. Today's episode of Behind the Numbers is brought to you by Haefely Flanagan. Haefely Flanagan is a full-service accounting firm that's been serving our clients since 1967. We are not your typical accounting firm. Our services extend well beyond tax and audit to include valuation services, strategic and succession planning, leadership development, and more. When you work with Haefely Flanagan, we help you realize your long-term goals. Learn more at hfco.com or call 856-722-5300.
And welcome back to Behind the Numbers. I'm Dave Bookbinder, and today we're talking about the issues and challenges of family-run businesses and integrating that next-generation leader. And my guest today is Mike Rosen, who is the CEO of Commercial Cleaning Corp. Mike, welcome back for round two here on Behind the Numbers. At the break, you had mentioned to me that one of the goals you have is to be an employer of choice.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Employer of choice is, I think it really started in a very, very focused way. The focus was we're constantly recruiting. In our business, there's constant recruitment. A lot of it has to do with the semi-skilled work that we do. So we constantly have people doing it. And I said, we really should be in a place where people want to come to us, that we want to be the employer of choice. And how do you become the employer of choice? And when we looked into it, it was our culture has to demand that we are the employer of choice. It's not anything that we say necessarily or do. It's do the employees feel like energized? Do they feel connected? Do they feel like this is the place they want to be for 8 hours a day and feel focused and feel meaningful, et cetera? So, and we feel by doing that, a few things will happen. One is, people will be knocking at our door. I'll be quite honest with you. People knock at our door to say, we want to work for you.
Right.
Okay. The other part is that assuming that our employees have that feeling, that that's going to come out when they're dealing with our clients, when they're dealing with folks who are possible clients, everyone who they contact is going to come that feeling of genuine love for what they do and virtually for each other in our working environment. And that's how that came about.
Yeah, and if you know anything about me, and you know enough to be dangerous at this point, but you know that you're preaching to the choir here.
Yes, and I do know that.
I truly believe, and we demonstrate, that this is absolutely mission critical in driving the value of your business. And you touched on so many things, but I want to ask you about the culture implementation.
Sure.
That's the hard part. Tell me how you're going about doing it. How are you implementing this culture where you're making people feel empowered, where they can be your brand evangelists?
Well, I can tell you what we're starting in about a week or so, and then I'll back it up. We're starting in a week. We've contracted with the company to do a survey of all our employees, mm-hmm. which is tricky enough because the majority of our employees are out in the field. We're a cleaning company primarily, so they're out in the field. They're not in one central location. So one of the tricks is going to be to make sure we get everybody. But we'll be doing a very vast survey from companies that do survey on culture. And we'll look at that survey once completed and determine where what the green lines are, where everything is fine,
right.
Where the red lines are, and maybe I think some of the yellow caution lines would be. And then we'll structure a plan to get everything moved to the right, to the central line and then to the green line as well. And I think, again, I've read some of your material as well, and I do think it's going to take us a little longer than we thought. I think it will take that 18 months to 24 months, frankly, to achieve that, because many of the folks who have been with us, it's going to take time for them to change. And also to believe we're for real. How many times do companies make changes and they say, hurrah, hurrah, things are going to be great, this or whatever. And then 2 months later, they drop it or it doesn't work. And then the people say, well, it's another one of their things. Don't get nervous. They'll do it again. About 3 months, and they'll be in something new. And they'll do it again. And it'll pass.
Right.
It'll pass. This won't pass. We will be that best companies.
Well, good for you. I know if you put your mind to it, you'll certainly
achieve
it.
Well, that's what it is.
And you're spot on. I mean, that's you quoted a stat that I always share. 18 to 24 months is what I hear from business owners and entrepreneurs, that it's what it takes to get it into the DNA of an organization, to your point, where the people actually believe that this is for real.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're going to guide everything you do by that. And a lot of it is, you know, with that type of culture, people understand what you're doing and why you're doing and how you're doing, which then puts you in a position of accountability to make sure you as a leadership and a leadership team actually fulfill that, as difficult as it might be. Because now you're working with such a variety of folks who are accustomed, the ones that are with you are accustomed to your behavior in a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're changing that entire mentality, which is a challenge. Some do and some don't, as you well know.
Yep. And I've heard many times that when you're implementing culture change, it's a natural self-selection process. Some people are going to opt out and don't want to be a part of it.
Yes.
And ultimately, that's a good thing. They don't want to be a part of this new environment. But have you heard any rumblings of, we'll call it dissatisfaction or any kind of apprehension about this endeavor?
Yes, a little bit. You know, again, it's the flavor of the day type of thing. They're always having a flavor somewhere along the line. With some folks, they've already left, and we've slowly started the implementation process. They've left on relatively, I'm saying, good terms. It's just, it's not a good fit. And we look at it as not being a good fit. There's nothing wrong with the people who leave. It's just our style moving forward. And as we implement different changes, it doesn't fit into their style.
Right.
And that's okay. And they're going to be happier when they find a place that fits their style, and we'll be happier when they get replaced with someone who fits our style.
Yeah.
And it works for everybody.
Yeah, and that discontentment or apprehension can bubble up to the level of a management team. I've seen it in many organizations where I've heard that the culture change didn't make it to a particular office because the guy that ran that office, you know, didn't get the memo or didn't drink the Kool-Aid. What's your advice for other folks out there who have contemplated or in the middle of some kind of a culture change in terms of getting the leadership team to drink the so-called corporate Kool-Aid and row in that right direction?
I think if one is, it's constant reminder. We do, as a leadership team, meet on a regular basis. And we do review culture, we do review where we're going, we do review the process. And we also want to inculcate with everyone that this communication and it's consistent communication with everybody in order to get this moving and realizing change, no matter what it is always going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
You're going to be challenged by change. And just to keep it open, keep the door always open and communicate with human beings, not your employees, but you're communicating with human beings. And if you consider that all the time, I think your chances of success will be much greater.
Yeah, and I don't have to tell you this, but as the big cheese of the organization, everyone's going to be looking to you.
Yes.
And you've got to be the one who's making sure that everybody is implementing what you're trying to do, that they're consistent. And you can't deviate. You've got to be the guy.
I think that's what any, let's say, entrepreneur, CEO has to realize, that everybody looks to them. If I'm wearing something that I tell you that shit is not appropriate in the office, you lost it. You've lost the crowd.
Yeah.
You have to be, they say, look at you all the time. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be within the mold that you're talking about. And you are the model, and they'll look to everything you do and everything you say.
Yep, and good for you. You are certainly self-aware on that front.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, for anybody in the audience who wants to learn more about you or Commercial Cleaning Corp, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Look, why don't you give everyone our website. It's www.commercialcleaningcorp.com.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So, Mike, you know today's episode is sponsored by Haefely Flanagan, accounting firm.
Yes.
And I understand you are and have been a client of the firm for quite some time.
Longstanding. We've had a great longstanding relationship with Haefely Flanagan, primarily on the leadership consulting side, doing a lot of strategic work, coaching, etc. And it's worked out terrifically. We've had individual coaches for some of our staff. We have various meetings with a lot of the consultants on their staff. It's helped us tremendously with our growth.
And you've been with Haefely Flanagan for, is it 15 years?
At least 15.
So they're doing something right.
They're definitely doing something right.
Okay, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I want to kind of explore a little bit of your personal philosophy. When we first met, we were talking about the need for talent and how you build a good team. And you drew an analogy to sports, which really resonates with me. You mentioned a former Philadelphia 76er, James Harden. And it's not enough just to have great players, because there can be a chemistry component that can make the player be toxic for the team. We only have about 5 minutes to go here, but okay. I want to get your thoughts on building the team and how you think about talent versus the overall chemistry.
A quick one on James Harden. James Harden, at the beginning, when he moved to the team he's with now, they lost the first 4 or 5 games, whatever it might have been. And now they're exceeding expectations. So the 5 players, 6 players, 7 players have learned to play with each other. They've learned to work with each other and in a different setting. I think very much that's really what has to be done. toxic environment is not going to work for everybody. Really, it doesn't work for anybody except the person who's toxic.
Right.
And another one of yours, if I may, you know, assholes do not have a protected class. So, and that's part of it is as well that in the past, sometimes you say, oh, it's okay. They don't mean anything. But you don't want to do. You don't want to change. You don't want to.
Yeah.
But it's constant. And you have to. And you have to sit down and talk to them again as people. But it's still the same message. Message always stays the same.
Looking back over your career, anything you'd do differently?
Probably a lot I would do differently. And back to the sports analogy, the reason I use a lot of sports analogy, because that was my first career was in sports, was in teaching. So I look at my group very, very much like you would look at putting together a team. Not everybody has to be a star. We need complementary players. We need defensive players. We need this, that, whatever. We need all these things to all meld. What would I do differently? I think I would have sought the help I got from Hafley Flanagan. If I was more aware when I began, I would have started with that. I started as an entrepreneur begins. You know, in the morning you put on your sales hat.
Right.
And then in our business, a lot of the work went on in the evening. Then you put on your blue hat, your workman's hat, and you're investigating. Then on the weekend, you put on your financial hat, et cetera, et cetera. I think if I would have seeked out more of that early on, I think the path would have been easier. You know, the hours that you spend, the 80 hours a week that you spend with everything would have been less. And I think the company would have probably gelled because of that a lot sooner, a lot quicker, and we'd be in a bit of a different place now.
Really good stuff. Mike, I wish I had more time. I could talk to you for another hour here. It was really a pleasure, but unfortunately we are out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave.
It's been a pleasure. We've been talking about the issues and challenges around family-run businesses with Mike Rosen, who is the CEO of Commercial Cleaning Corp. My name is Dave Bookbinder, and I'm the one my clients turn to when they want to know what their most important assets are worth. Definitely reach out to me. You can find me on LinkedIn. Thanks to the Big Cheese for running the board today. Thank you, the audience, for watching and listening. And a huge thanks to the firm Hafley Flanagan, as we mentioned, who is a sponsor of today's episode. Please do check them out at hfco.com. That's all we have for today, folks. We'll see you next time on Behind the Numbers. Take care.